The following is a lecture given at the home of the Saxena family by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 29th, 2006, in Sydney, Australia.
So, what is it that everyone wants? Everybody wants to enjoy life, isn't it? Everyone is looking for sukha, happiness. Actually, that motivates everyone. Whatever they're doing, they're trying to find happiness. If they're going to school, they're going to school so they can get a job and make more money because they think money will make me happy if I have money. Or if they go to the beach, they think by going to the beach I'll become happy. They think, well, if I drink some wine, I'll become happy. If I have some girlfriend, I'll be happy. You know, whatever they're doing, everyone is doing it for the purpose of trying to become happy. But there is one problem. The problem is, this material world is a place of misery. That means no matter what you try to do to get happiness here, you may think you're happy for a short while, but after a while, what happens? You realize, I'm not enjoying this. What can I do now to get some enjoyment? But you know what? We keep going from one thing to another, trying to enjoy, and we never ever find satisfaction here. This is because Lord Sri Krishna has confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 8, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvartinurjuna mamupechutukonteya punar janma navijate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, everywhere you go, it's all a miserable place. But he explained, One who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, one who comes to Krishna Loka. Punar means again, na means not, janma is birth, vijite takes. He never takes birth again. So, if we would like to be happy, if we would like to get real enjoyment that never goes away, then simply we have to come to the transcendental platform. We have to learn how to elevate our consciousness onto the spiritual platform. Of course, it is not by our own strength. When Krishna picks us up and elevates us to that platform, spiritual platform, then we can find happiness at every minute. There's a very good example. Have you ever been on an airplane ride when it was very dark and rainy and gray at the airport, when the plane took off? You ever had that experience? But after a few minutes, what happened? The plane goes through the clouds, and all of a sudden it's a beautiful sunny day. It was rainy, it was cold, it was gray, it was a miserable, horrible day on the ground. But after you take off, and you penetrate those clouds, all of a sudden it's just so beautiful and wonderful. You see? That beautiful, wonderful day was actually there the whole time, it's just you were under the clouds. That's all. So do you understand the point that I'm making? The point is that right now we are under the clouds of illusion. There is unlimited happiness available for us right now, this very second. But we are not tasting it because we are under the clouds of illusion. Those clouds are called Sattva-gun, Rajagun, Tamagun, the three modes of material nature. These are three types of clouds that cover us. So just as the airplane can take us through the clouds, by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have an airplane. Do you know what is that airplane? Yes, that's right. We have an airplane that will take us through the clouds of sattva-gun, tamagun, rajagun. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's like you can get on the airplane, put on your seatbelt, and off you go down the runway, accelerating, and then lift off. So every time we do kirtan, you see, we're sitting down, putting on our seat belts, accelerating down the runway. And when you get sufficiently into the kirtan, it's up to each individual person when he finally takes off, you see. Some devotees who are very advanced, they take off immediately. Others, it may take them a while to get off the ground because they are heavier with material attachment, you see. If there's a heavy load on the airplane, it takes a long time and you have to go very fast to lift off. But if it's a very light airplane, it can lift off immediately, you see. So if we are heavy with so many material attachments, then we have to chant, really get into it, very, very intense, Hare Krishna, really strongly focused. But if you keep chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, you will get off the ground of material nature, and you will enter into that sublime spiritual atmosphere. And the beauty of this is, you see, normally on an airplane, you have to come down. After a while, you run out of fuel. They have to come down to refuel the airplane, you see. But this Hare Krishna airplane, it is so nice airplane. That you can take off and you can stay in the spiritual sky forever. You don't have to come down. You don't have to come back again. That's why Krishna says, Purnar Janma na Vidyate. He never takes birth again. So you may say, but what about my job? What about my family? What about my schooling? You don't have to give those up. You just have to connect them all with Krishna. You can bring all of them on the airplane. You can have the whole family can get on the airplane and go back to Godhead together, you see. You don't have to give up your family, your society, whatever you have. You offer all of that to Krishna's service. Just like Prabhupada came to America. And he didn't tell us, well, you have to forget about America now. You have come to Krishna consciousness, so now you forget America. No. You know what he told us? He said, if you actually feel for your countrymen, then you must give them Krishna consciousness. They are dying. He didn't tell us, now you forget your American countrymen. No. He said, now you can do the real service for your country. Give them Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean you just negate everything and go hide in a cave somewhere. No. Krishna consciousness means whatever you're doing, you bring, if you're a professional man, if you're a businessman, if you're a housewife, if you're a student, wherever you are engaging, you bring the light of Krishna consciousness into that arena, you see. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Because actually everything is the energy of Krishna. This is confirmed by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti vat bhava jante vang buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So everything that exists, whether it's material or spiritual, it's all the energy of Krishna. It's like here we have this big, opulent, amazing city called Sydney, Australia, you see. Sydney is the energy of Krishna. Sydney emanates from Krishna. And it is Krishna actually who holds Sydney together. What is that verse? Sutra mani gana eva. Krishna says, Dhanan o Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth Arjun. I am the string that holds everything together. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. So a devotee sees how Krishna is actually present in every sphere of human society. Just like here, you have a big apartment building, many stories high, you see. Krishna is what's holding this building together. If you take this building minus Krishna, then it just collapses in the dust. It is the energy of Krishna that holds, that makes the lights light up, that makes this couch be here. It's all the energy of Krishna. So wherever you go, you cannot escape Krishna because he's present. So devotee, what's the difference between someone who's a devotee and someone who's not a devotee? A devotee is someone who acknowledges, yes, here is Krishna. Krishna is present here. Krishna is everywhere. He learns how to connect. Bring some water. Drinking water. Devotee learns how to connect with Krishna. So, we've come here today as your servants. Please tell me how we can assist you in making your life perfect.
No, I think you are here, so our life will automatically become perfect. With your presence makes everything perfect in all ways.
So what, when I leave, then what?
So we should always feel your presence with us.
Mm. Yes, actually the spiritual master, he has two forms of presence, you see. They are called Vapu and Vani. Vapu means his physical presence. But Vani means whatever orders he has given you, whatever instructions he has given you. That presence will always remain. So I have come today, therefore, since you want my presence to always be here, then to serve you in this desire, therefore I must give you precise instructions. And then by following these instructions, then I will always be present. So, are you chanting on the Japa Mala? You chanting 16 rounds?
Almost.
All right, so now my instruction is as soon as possible, you need to increase to at least 16 rounds daily. That's the first instruction. Are you taking only Krishna Prasad? Nothing else?
No. We are not able to provide that type of prasad to Krishna.
Do you have like meat still?
No.
Oh, vegetarian. So you have your Krishna here. Any foodstuffs that are in the category of fruits, vegetables, dairy products and grains... Are you taking onions and garlic still?
A little bit, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Not regularly.
So anything that you... actually, you should... That would be very good if you can give up the onions. My instruction is to give up the onions and garlic.
They're trying to give up all those type of things. Yeah. Onion, garlic, something
like that. Yeah. And then you offer all of that food to Krishna. It can be Indian food. It can be American, or you can make pizza at home. Any kind of food is all right. Krishna, as long as there's no, meat, eggs, fish, onions, or garlic. You can offer that to the Lord. Any Indian style, any style of food is okay. Yes, question.
Why not onions and garlic?
Yes. Sometimes we are asked, why not onions and garlic? Of course, the first answer we have is, this is how our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, trained us. He told us no onions and garlic. Strict Vaishnavas, in India, strict Vaishnavas, they do not offer onions and garlic. Especially in South India. Are you from South India? No.
North.
North. Yeah. In South India, there are many, yes, many strict Vaishnavas will not offer onions and garlic. So why? Well, one thing is, those who are not accustomed to eating onions and garlic, if they smell it, it smells very bad. That's one thing. Someone says, oh, you have onion on your breath. Yeah. Go brush your teeth, you know, don't talk to me. It stinks, you see. So actually, onions and garlic, they stink. They're not a very nice thing to offer to Krishna. They have a foul odor. So that's actually the reason. Krishna doesn't like them. That's the real reason. And I know why he doesn't like them. They stink. So that's why. So why be attached to eating food that stinks when you can offer nice foodstuffs that Krishna will very much enjoy? And then, if you like that spiciness, then put some extra hing. This is your mother?
Hing.
No, you are his son. Oh, okay. Then have your mom put extra hing instead of the onions and garlic. You can make it spicy, but the onions and garlic, those things Krishna doesn't like. That's why. They are considered in the lower modes of nature. You eat those foods, it gives you material consciousness. Any other question? So yes, that you do. You give up onions and garlic, offer everything to Krishna, chant 16 rounds. You qualify yourself to become initiated member of our society. You see, it's very important. A full member. Full membership means initiation. We have many gurus. I'm one of the gurus also. We have many nice gurus. You can choose one. Yes, I would like to be disciple of this particular guru. And then you take the instructions that he gives you and you follow them very sincerely. And the guru, he will take then the personal responsibility to see that you go back to home, back to Godhead. He takes personal responsibility for you to make sure that you do not take birth again here. So it's a very nice thing. And that is instructed, it is enjoined in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that one should take shelter and by initiation of the bona fide spiritual master. If you want to achieve Shreya Uttamam, that which is the ultimate benefit. So those things, that's the first instruction. And then, are you on my e-course on the internet?
No.
You can get on that e-course, right, and you will get something every day. Here's where you sign up. Mm-hmm. You also for your family as well. Yes. You can get on the e-course, and then whatever questions you may have about how to advance in Krishna consciousness, you can consult me on a regular, ongoing basis through the internet. You can even phone me if you like. My phone number is there. When I'm in North America, you can reach me by telephone. When I'm outside of North America, I'm always reachable on my emails. You can see I have my computer with me. I was doing emails in the back seat while we were coming. So I stay as current as possible. Right now I'm answering emails that came in 2 days ago. So I follow up on my correspondence from my students all over the world, to guide them on how they can become perfect in spiritual life and make this their last life in this material world.
Okay.
So, any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, cow gives milk, but we drink it. Cow gives milk, but we drink it.
Yeah, the cow gives milk more than the calf can drink.
So his question is further. Chicken gives eggs, so
we can eat them. Yes, The there are certain plants that also give poison as well. Just because something gives something doesn't mean that it is a good thing, you see. So, a horse passes stool also. You'll eat the stool of the horse.
Yeah.
The horse passes stool. You will eat horse stool?
No. Is it? Make your question clear.
He was asking about chicken with the eggs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I was. What is it? Say that while we drink milk, when it's coming,
eggs.
Like
yeah.
any non-veg is restricted, which is coming from animals.
What is the question?
The question is the same
is
thing
like
what I asked you. The milk is coming from cows that we eat, drink. So the eggs are coming from the chicken.
Yes.
Yeah, like technically he's trying to.
But it is a different form.
Yeah.
Eat eggs.
No, he's trying to prove that milk is not a vegetarian product.
No, but I'm saying egg is not a non-vegetarian product.
All right, there
that's
we go.
That's what I saw.
But it is a different thing. See, one thing is giving milk, actually it is an aborted embryo. The chicken is, it's an undeveloped embryo is what it is. It's blood and flesh in an undeveloped form. That's all it is. The milk is a very life-giving substance, but the egg is a very gross thing. It's dirty, nasty thing, you see. Just like just because something comes out of the body, just like from the milk is very nice. But the same mother that gives milk, she also passes urine. So you will drink the urine, you see. So the mother gives milk from her breast to the baby, but the mother also passes urine. The child does not drink the mother's urine. You see, there's a big... Just because it comes out of the body doesn't mean it's the same. There are nice things that come out of the body and nasty things that come out of the body.
So what's the difference?
The difference is milk is very life-giving and healthy, and eating eggs... Well, the real... is not going to give you the same. The real point is this. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Jagyashishta Shinashanto Muchante Sarvakilbishan. He says, the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So Krishna says, you should only eat food that has been offered to me. Krishna specifically states that he does not accept foods from this category and he does accept foods from the other category. The reason we don't take eggs is because Krishna does not accept them. He doesn't want them. Krishna has told us, I will take this, I will take milk, I will take milk products, I will take vegetables, fruits, and grains, but I won't take meat, fish, and eggs. So devotee, Krishna says we should only eat food which has been offered first to him. And since Krishna does not take eggs, therefore we do not take eggs. Now if Krishna changes his mind, and he decides to have scrambled eggs for breakfast every day, okay? Then we can have scrambled eggs for breakfast every day, you see. Because Krishna takes scrambled eggs. But right now, for the time being, because Krishna is on a diet with no meat, no fish and no eggs, and because our regulative principle is we should only take the remnants of what Krishna has eaten. Therefore, no meat, no fish and no eggs. If Krishna wanted to eat hamburger, McDonald's hamburger, then we can also eat McDonald's hamburger. We simply eat Krishna Prasad. Whatever Krishna eats, then we will eat what he has left for us. That's all. Because Krishna does not take meat, fish, and eggs. He does not take McDonald's hamburger. Therefore, we do not take. Do you understand? We only take what Krishna takes. And since Krishna does not take eggs, therefore, we do not eat those eggs.
I asked him if he wants to take Krishna Prasadam or the spa. So he said he wants to eat Krishna Prasadam.
Yeah. Who wants to eat a... If I give you a plate, so you have a plate of sin. You can eat this plate of sin. Would you like to eat a big plate of sin? You see, that's what they're eating in the material world. They're all eating sin. They have big, big restaurants. They say, here, my dear sir, here's your plate of sin. Now eat. They're simply eating sin. That's it. You know what the result is of someone who eats eggs? Because it's sin. In their next birth, you know what they become?
Chicks.
Yes, chicken. So if you think eating eggs is very nice, then you can become a chicken in your next life.
But eggs develop into chicken. When they come out, they are not chicken.
Eggs develop into chicken, but when they come out, they are not chicken.
Yeah, it is the undeveloped embryo of a chicken.
But it's not meat, is it?
Huh?
It's not meat, is it?
It's not meat.
Oh, no, it is meat in its beginning stage. It is the beginning stage of flesh and blood. It is. It is another form of flesh and blood. Because that, if that egg is fertilized, then it will turn into a full-blown chicken with feathers and beak and bones and blood and everything. The egg is the undeveloped body of a chicken. That's all it is. It's the chicken's body in an undeveloped stage. That's all. Early stage of a chicken body. So all you're eating is a chicken body in its early undeveloped stage. So who wants to eat flesh and blood at any stage? Whether it's, you know. Do you become, if you're on the highway and someone runs over a dog and there's a, you know, there's a dead dog on the highway, do you become attractive? Let's stop the car and get out and grab it so we can eat the dead dog. Would you like that?
No.
Of course, in China, they will love it. They will run for it. They run for it. Oh, a dead dog. Who can get it first? Let's see.
In a gross sense, it's undeveloped fetus. I don't know if you understand this thing. Eggs are undeveloped fetus.
Yes, yes. So, questions more? Yeah.
You said there are all kinds of gurus and stuff. How do you know which one to pick?
Yes. Actually, Prabhupada one time answered in this way. He says, when you're ready for the guru, you don't have to go seeking him. When you're actually ready for guru, he will... He will find you. All you have to do is become very sincere to surrender yourself to Krishna. And when you're really at the right point, now I'm finally ready to surrender to Krishna, the guru will be there. Krishna will send him to you. You don't have to go looking for guru. You simply become completely serious to fully surrender to God. And in God, he will manifest in the as the guru also. You see, Krishna in your heart, he is called Chaitya Guru. But that Chaitya Guru, the guru within your heart, when you are ready, fully surrendered to surrender him, he will manifest externally. And you will see, and he will tell you, here is your guru. You will know. You will know. Oh, this is, the super soul will tell you, yes, this is the one. You will know, yes, here he is. So all you have to do is become very serious, become a devotee of Krishna, and the guru will be there. Krishna will arrange that he is there for you. You don't have to go shopping for a guru. Just become very serious, and then you will know, here he is. Yeah. Questions more? These two boys are very intelligent, you see. They're asking all the questions. Very intelligent, bright young men. Good brains.
Thank you.
Is everybody else sleeping or what?
How can we satisfy others? How can we satisfy others?
Satisfy others.
Others. And, so that... worship Krishna.
So that they will worship Krishna?
No.
So they will worship Krishna?
Yes.
How do you induce others to also become Krishna conscious?
Yes.
Well, the first thing is you have to become very, very strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness. If you become fully surrendered to Krishna, you will be like a magnet. Just by your presence, they will also want to become Krishna conscious. They will feel the energy, the bhakti energy in your presence, and they will become attracted to it. If you are very Krishna conscious, just like Prabhupada was like that. Wherever he would go, people would want to become devotees just by seeing Prabhupada, just by being in his presence. So you have to become a lighthouse in the dark night of Kali by becoming very fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Are you chanting 16 rounds regularly on Japamala?
In this society, in Australia, if I say anybody, I am vegetarian. But they can't understand me.
Are you chanting 16 rounds regularly of Japamala?
I try, but not...
No, you're not, yeah. The thing is, there are many different types of meditation, etc., etc., but they are, in this age, they are not very potent.
She is saying that if she is vegetarian, the people cannot understand about her being a vegetarian, but she has...
They laugh us, oh, you are vegetarian. Why don't you eat all these things? We are enjoying all these things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they will never understand. As long as they eat meat, they will never understand. They are called meatheads. Dull brain. One who eats meat, they remain dull-headed. They can never understand higher philosophy.
Yeah,
That's why we have our vegetarian restaurants, Krishna Prasad, so they can get purified by taking Prasad. They can never, meathead can never understand this philosophy. Because it's so sinful, this meat eating. It makes someone very dull brained if they eat meat. Very difficult for a meat eating person to understand this philosophy.
And the vegetarian is the ultimate end.
You're asking a number of questions here. Why don't you take it one question at a time?
It's one question, it's just trying to phrase it. That's all.
Huh?
It's one question, trying to phrase it. People, vegetarian is like ultimately for vegetarian, it's not that vegetarian is sinless. The people cannot understand.
What's the question?
Question is that the person is Krishna conscious, then when they become Krishna conscious and eat Krishna prasadam, then nobody can say.
What's the question?
The question was that you can explain it. Can you explain that one has to eat Krishna prasadam and not the vegetarian food only?
Oh, okay. Yes, being a vegetarian is not the end-all and be-all of existence. The monkeys are also vegetarians. And we see in India, they simply cause trouble in Vrindavan. When you walk down the street, you have to hold on to your glasses so they don't steal your glasses off your face. Or they may even take your japamala, bead bay. Or if you have a camera, you better hold tight. The monkey may steal your camera and take it to the market and trade it for bananas. You see? So they are a strict vegetarian, the monkey, but they are simply... Monkey business means trouble, you see. So, being a vegetarian is not sufficient. But one who is the taker of Krishna prasadam, that is the platform of sadhu, saintly person. Vegetarian, that is not sufficient. One has to become Krishnatarian. That's why I'm asking, do you offer all your food to Krishna before you eat?
100% not.
Yeah. So, if you want my presence, then I am present in that instruction.
I will not.
Take only Krishna prasadam here in this house. Everything must get rid of the onions and garlic and offer all the food for Krishna. And eat only Krishna prasadam. You will see how happy you become. You will see how joyful everyone in the family becomes. So taking only the prasadam of Krishna, you just feel so happy. You feel liberated. You'll be swimming in nectar, ocean of nectar. Am I being too heavy?
No, it's okay.
It's all right?
They
said they want me to always feel my presence, and that's how they will do. If you don't want to always feel my presence, and you can keep eating onions and garlic and everything. Nice. If you want to feel my presence,
yeah.
I'm giving you a way you can do that.
Yeah.
I'm giving you some instruction. Now, if you follow that, then you will feel how I am present. I will be present.
He's making a point that we should never take onion and garlic now from
all
today.
Yes, that's right. The easiest thing to do, the way to do it, as soon as the program is over, you just go to the cupboard and you give it all to your neighbor. Throw it away or give it to some friend who eats onions and garlic. Just get rid of it immediately and they'll never buy it again. And you won't be tempted to throw it into them. Immediately after the program, you immediately go and take all the onions and garlic and get it out the door to your friends who are in the garbage can. Get rid of it immediately. And then, now you've begun your new life. You offer only Krishna Prasad in this house. And then this house will not be in the material world. This house will be in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. This will be transformed into ashram. You'll be living in an ashram. Didn't you always want to live in an ashram sometime? Well, now you can make your home into an ashram where only Krishna Prasad is eaten and everyone chants Hare Krishna mantra. You see? And then I will, if you do like that, then I will come. I promise to come back again every time I come to Sydney.
Yeah, you have to come here every time.
Yes.
What's the main idea of doing that 16 rounds?
Yes.
What's the main idea?
Why do you do it? Yes. Do you have a mobile phone? Yes. Do you keep it charged? Why? Why do you keep it charged up? Why do you not let the battery go dead?
To keep it working.
Yeah, because if it's not charged, it doesn't work. So, you have a spiritual battery also in your heart. And the japa mala, that is the battery charger, you see. So we do that to keep the spiritual battery charged. So we can always remain Krishna conscious. If the battery is fully charged, that at least 16 rounds is required to get the spiritual battery fully charged for 24 hours. So that's why that number is there. Just like there's a certain amount of charge which makes your phone fully charged. There's also a certain amount of japa mala that will fully charge the heart up for 24 hours, and that's 16 rounds. Anything less, your battery will run dead before the day is over. So even 15 rounds is not enough. 16 is the minimum. Now more than that is good. But at least 16 you must chant every day to be fully charged for 24 hours in Krishna consciousness.
Do you know that now? He doesn't have a mala, so we have to let Vijay Gopikesh bring him a mala.
Yes, any other questions?
Do you have japa mala in your
car? I'll ask.
Mm-hmm.
What about those people, those who work full time, you know, 8 to 6, like mm-hmm. every day, 5 days?
You got it. The best thing is to charge your battery before you head out for the office.
Like early in the morning, you say?
Yeah, get up early, get your rounds. The ideal time to do it is before the sunrise.
It's around 4 or 5.
You get up by 4 or 5 o'clock, 5:30, something. You know, get up early before the sunrise, get 16 rounds done before the sun comes up, or at least before you eat your meal, you see.
Like you
mean, you get those rounds done in the early morning and you'll be amazed. You go, wow. You know, I can conquer the world today. I got Krishna's full, I got Krishna's Shakti today, you know. You can go out there and just feel really enlivened, even out there in the material atmosphere, because you'll feel like there's a, you're shielded by Krishna's energy. You have this invisible energy field all around you of Krishna's energy, and nothing can take away your protection. So you'll feel incredible upliftment all day long. You're working. Are you talking about yourself? Yeah. You, if you chant 16 good rounds every morning, you'll just be like floating. And that day will go by so fast, and you'll be back to the temple or your home so you can do more reading and chanting. You know? So it's really nice. Really, really nice.
This chanting of the early morning is not only for those people who are working. This chanting in the early morning is very good. Even though we are not working outside jobs, we wake up at 3 o'clock so that we can finish our job in the morning. So it's really good and healthy. Mm-hmm.
And what about food? Like, if you go outside, you can't find any food.
The best thing is what they call brown bagging it. You know, bring it from home is the ideal thing.
But
many people.
No one makes it with there, so I had to get up. Huh? I had to.
He is alone.
Yeah. Very hard for those people.
Yeah.
I should recommend ISKCON should have at least, you know, the food centers around Westworld, around somewhere. Like, you know, they've got KFCs everywhere around. But they haven't got even one fast food center anywhere around, so we can go and eat with them. Because everywhere you go, you'll find the food which we can't eat.
Yeah, there are, you know, baked potatoes is one thing. You find a place that has baked potatoes and salad.
Yeah, I can do that, but not 5 days whole life,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Very hard.
Well, I can tell you that Mataji and I travel all over the world, and we don't eat on the airplanes. We go on these long international flights.
He's saying that he can do 1, 2, 3 days, but not all 5 days every day.
There are definitely ways to do it, and these are like in.
I can ask you a question to
him. Yeah.
How far you live from your master's place?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Then you can get a prasadam from there.
Yeah, but like. I mean, whole life, morning to evening, we have to eat something solid in the day.
Yes, yes.
So if we go out to eat McDonald's, KFC, then Hungry Jack's, Burger King, everything is there, but no vegetarian food out there.
Yes.
I go to an Indian restaurant, they have got butter chicken, mutton, this and that. They haven't got veggie stuff up there.
Mm.
If they have got veggie stuff, that has got onion, garlic for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. No other option.
Here,
there.
I do not know about Sydney, but
really
in
not.
Brisbane they have it. And Gold Coast, they have restaurants, but I do not know what do they have.
I had a look all over here in Western South.
In Sydney,
it was
far away at the temple.
So we have to develop something out if we have to
without
choose.
Garlic and onion. There's no food without garlic.
No,
I have
Tuesdays and Fridays, I don't eat non-veg. Because that's a rule coming from India, we never eat and veg. So Tuesday is the hardest day and Fridays to get out, and I have to look what hasn't gotten eaten.
There are very, very many. There are many, many creative ways to solve the eating problem.
We had a Govinda's restaurant in Sydney downtown.
There is one in downtown, yes, but not Western suburbs.
We have in downtown.
Because I can go out from my work for 20, 30 minutes.
Where,
I can
where do you work?
Carson's house.
There's all kinds of varieties of things you can do. You know, you can get there are nice yogurts, for example, that.
Yeah.
Or vegetarian, you can buy those at the grocery store, keep it at home. You can make a nice little snack pack, a vegetarian snack pack to take with you every day, and the different varieties of snack packs too. And there's ways to do it. There are definitely ways to do it. You can even go to the health food store and get vegetarian frozen dinners, you know, that are microwavable, that you could carry to the office and stick in the microwave, have a hot vegetarian dinner. You know, the Indian store sells, you got to look for the orange and garlic, but, you know, they have microwavable dinners that you could actually take to the office and have a hot Indian dinner out of the microwave. You know, there are ways to do it.
There are
definitely ways. You just got to be creative and resourceful and really look into it. You can find hundreds of ways to satisfy your nutritional needs and make it Krishna conscious while you're working a job. That's a fact. I mean, I'm not being from here, I don't know what's in the market, but I know there's health food stores here, and they all have vegetarians, stuff for vegetarians. And I know they have stuff carry with you, keep it in the fridge at home, brown bag it, heat it up in a microwave. I know they have the stuff. You can get vegetarian energy bars. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. You go to the health food stores, you can find all kinds of things. So you can, you know, and you have nice, tasty food, and you can, it's offerable to Krishna. There's definitely a way to do it. You don't have to suffer. You can enjoy. So, anything else?
You tell us something more, please. You tell us, please.
About what?
More, how to improve our Krishna consciousness.
How to improve your
Krishna consciousness. Mm.
The ways. More.
Krishna says, Manmana Mamabad Bhakto Majajimang Namaskaru Mam Me Vaishashi Yogdvayavang Atmanang Matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being fully absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. So you simply have to see how to always engage yourself in thinking of Krishna. You need to arrange your life in such a way that wherever you go, there's things that remind you of Krishna. Are you working in an office? You have your own business? How do you earn a living?
At the moment, I'm not doing anything.
All right, so you're staying at home?
Yes.
So, you can have, here you, it's very good, you have reminder of Krishna. So we're in every, in all parts of the house, you can have reminders of Krishna. You see, everywhere you can have a nice set of books. You have Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Yes.
You can also get a whole set of our books. Eventually, you can get all the sect, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, and have a bookcase, a big set of books. So there's ample. So you just have to find the way to fill up your house with Krishna consciousness. Fill up your heart with Krishna consciousness. You should, you must come every morning and bow flat on the ground in front of Radha and Krishna. Just like you bowed down when the sadhus came. So every day you must already be doing. Yes. So, you have to simply fully absorb yourself in Krishna, 24 hours a day, everything for Him. You have to see everything as His property, not as your property. This is Krishna's house. My wife belongs to Krishna, my children belong to Krishna, I belong to Krishna. Everything I have, it belongs to Krishna. So let me utilize everything for Krishna, you see. In this way you must always meditate 24 hours a day.
Whenever we try to meditate, all the times the nonsense things comes in our mind and they meditate.
So what is your meditation technique? Make the mind silent?
Yes.
Yeah. Give up this type of meditation. It is not effective in this age. Instead of trying to make your mind silent, which doesn't work, it does not practical.
Something
you have to fill your mind with the Hare Krishna mantra.
Do that
instead.
Yes.
No more silent, so-called silent meditation, because you can never make your mind silent. It's not possible.
Right.
Instead, you must simply chant Hare Krishna mantra with japa mala beads. That is your meditation from now on. No more silent meditation, because it's not really silent. Mm. The mind never becomes silent.
Never.
Therefore, you simply engage yourself in chanting Hare Krishna mantra.
By mouth.
Chanting. Make it audible, vibrate it, Hare Krishna. Because if you just think, well, I'll just think about Hare Krishna, it's not strong enough to overpower the mind. The mind will then think about so many material things. But if you will say the mantra out loud and on your tongue and then hear it with the ear, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then the mind becomes trapped.
Japa can be a little faster also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Yeah, but for your 16 rounds, you should not make it too slow, because if it's too slow, then there's too many gaps.
Right.
You have to speed it up. At least you should chant your 16 rounds in 2 hours.
Hmm.
No longer than that. Should be able to complete 16 malas. That's 7.5 minutes per round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, you have to really focus. To get to go faster, you have to focus your mind. And then there's no room to think of anything else. If you chant very slowly, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then the mind has so much room, it can think about this and that, but you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. And then there's no room. It's like when you're driving a car at 80 miles an hour, you know, driving very fast, then you have to pay very close attention.
Right.
If you're going very slow, like 10 kilometers per hour, you can just, like, you know.
Right.
So japa is like that. Fast japa, at least, you know, 7.5 minutes around, a good clip, steady. It really helps the mind to focus.
And we can do it in all 24 hours, step by step.
24 hours, anytime. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always, any time of the 24 hours. But for the 16 rounds, completing them with the strongest focus, the early morning hours are incomparably sweet. It is called Brahma Muhurta. It begins 1.5 hours before sunrise. If the sun rises at 6, you can check with the newspaper or the internet. What time is the sunrise? If the sun rises at 6:30, then by 5 o'clock you should be chanting your japa mala. You see? The sun rises at 7, then by 5:30 you should be chanting. The sun rises at 6.
If it takes 2 hours, then it's better to give 2 hours. Isn't it?
Yes. That's right. So, make your life very, very serious now to become the pure devotee of Krishna. Fully surrender yourself to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That is His injunction in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Give up all other duties and responsibilities. Simply you must surrender to me. I will deliver you from all of your pap. Do not fear, do not hesitate. So you should think that from this moment onwards, I fully belong to Krishna. That's all. I'm His property. Whatever He wants me to do, I'm simply His servant. That's all. And this way your life will become very, very sweet and happy. Your family, the whole family life will become very peaceful and happy and sweet. And the members see that Krishna is the actual proprietor and we are just the servants here. Questions more? You don't have any questions? Are you hearing what I'm saying, Taryn? It's going in, or it's going in one ear and out the other? It's going into the heart? Yes, please take these instructions to heart. We are not traveling entertainers. We just want to make you smile and laugh and then we go on. No. Yes.
How many rounds do you do in a day?
I do at least 16 rounds every day.
So
at least. Because that is a vow that I took. Sometimes I chant extra rounds. But I make sure every day at least I do 16 rounds. Minimum.
So if you are by heart counting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare, you wouldn't know how many rounds do you do.
If you
have counted,
if you count on the beads, then you know.
Yeah.
We count on the beads. I know when I do 16 rounds, I know exactly how many beads I've chanted. You know the number? 1,728 Maha Mantras. That's the exact number. If you do 16 times around the beads, 16 times 108 is 1,700.
These are numbers. These beads.
This is 108.
No, these beads.
For,
these are
16.
16. For counting.
For
these
one,
are 16. Counting.
Yeah, so when you finish one mala,
yeah.
You pull one down.
Oh.
Yeah. Then you go another mala, then you pull another.
You get counter beads. Oh, you didn't know how many rounds you had done. Yeah. Yeah, you have counter beads on the bag, and every time you. Yeah. That's right.
This is not good for counting.
This is for counting the how many mala.
We don't have this type of.
You don't have it? You need to get it. I may talk to Abhijit.
Because sometimes I forget how many
rounds.
I took the match sticks. I keep 16.
That's a good idea.
But I don't have that, so I keep matchsticks and all the time I counting 16.
That's a very
one
good idea,
one.
But this is will be always available.
Yes, yes.
But
wherever you are.
I travel, then this is good for us.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It will be good. So that's how you count how many japa you did.
It is not necessary for
you
us.
You all have mala japa mala. Everybody
yes,
has japa mala?
Yeah.
We have two. Children don't do.
Every family member must have their own string.
Children don't do.
No sharing. You have to have, everyone has their own string.
No. We
don't have mala.
No. I actually don't do.
Huh?
Yes. You don't have mala.
You actually don't do.
Yeah.
You should start.
Why?
Say,
that's my question. Why?
My question. He's so materialistic.
It doesn't believe anything. It is materialistic. Ask him why he's not, does not do the chapa. No, I want to do. Why he doesn't? That's the question. You're contradicting yourself. It doesn't want to follow the Krishna's rules. Questions every time. Does it make sense? He wants to do but he doesn't do, he says. So why doesn't he do?
Servant you must be, but if you don't serve Krishna, you must serve Maya. Maya will give you the repetition of birth and death. Krishna will give you eternity, knowledge and bliss. So if you choose not to serve Krishna, not to chant, then you must take birth again in this material world. So if that's what you don't mind suffering in the material world, then you don't need to chant. But if you would like to get out of the suffering of this material existence, and live an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, then you must chant every day at least 16 rounds.
How can we know that we would not get the birth?
How could we know we were not going to get another birth?
If you become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you will feel how you are advancing on the spiritual pathway. If you're not sure of what you're, where you are, that means you're still in a state of illusion. But for someone who has actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness, he realizes his position of immortality. He becomes factually situated in a state of immortality, even while this body is existing. He feels the presence of Krishna. He feels how he is living in the spiritual world. It is a tangible experience. You will, one who achieves that perfection, he knows it, he lives it, he feels it at every minute.
I think we are very far from that type of realization.
Mortality.
We are very far away.
So, what? How do you begin a 1,000-mile journey?
Right.
With the first step.
You have told like that.
The first step.
Yes,
so the first step is you get rid of the onions and garlic, you offer all the food to Krishna, you chant regularly 16 rounds. And in this way, you make progress, step by step by step by step. And the more, the further you go on the path, the easier it gets. And the faster you make progress. The hardest thing is to get started. Once you get your momentum going, then you're carried along by the previous momentum. So somehow get started on the path of bhakti. That's the most important thing. If you do that, You get the momentum will build up. It gets easier and easier and easier. Pretty soon it becomes natural. It's like a duck taking to the water. It becomes very natural after a while. That's called raganuga, where you have a spontaneous attraction for the activities of devotional service. Right now we have to push ourselves a little bit. Does a child spontaneously want to go to school when he's... No, in the beginning he wants to stay home, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you have to push him. No, you must go to school. And then so he goes to the school and they teach him how to read. His child doesn't want to read, but they push him. No, you must learn to read. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P. You see. Or in Hindi, it's A, E, you know. So they have their, you have to learn alphabet. And the child doesn't want, but after he learns, then what happens? Then he starts reading. He loves to read on his own. He'll read a book, he'll grab this, he'll be reading things. Enjoy the reading, isn't it?
Yes.
In the beginning, the child did not want to learn how to read. He didn't want to stay home and play with the toys. He didn't want to go to the school to learn how to read. So in the same thing, the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we don't want to take any austerity. No, I don't want to chant. No, I don't want to bow down. No, I don't want to restrict my eating. It's too much trouble. No, I don't want to go to school and learn how to read. It's the same thing. But when the older devotees push, no, you must do. When Guru pushes, no, you must do. And you say, all right, let me try. The child thinks, well, parents are pushing me. I might as well just go and try it. What can I do? They're not going to let me stay home. I have to go, so let me try anyway. But then gradually develop a taste. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness, the devotees are saying, no, you must do, you must. All right, I will try to please them, I will try. But then finally, you develop a taste of your own. And when you become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours, you have already achieved perfection. You don't have to wait for death. You've already achieved it. For I was just reading yesterday, and Prabhupada is saying that for one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, the material world does not exist. For him, that material world doesn't even exist anymore. He's already existing in the spiritual world, even while his present body is still going on. He doesn't have to wait for death. He enters into the spiritual world even within his present body. It's amazing, but that's what happens in one advances in Krishna consciousness. You will feel how you've already conquered death. You've already achieved immortality. Prabhupada says, deathlessness begins at initiation. When I find my guru and I fully surrender to him, I make my vow to follow his orders as my life and soul. Prabhupada says at that moment the disciple achieves deathlessness.
I want a guru for 24 hours from me. How can I be able to find out a guru? You have already answered that the guru will find you. But now I want, again raising the question, I'm not satisfied with the answer.
You want a guru that you can contact 24 hours a day?
I can be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that the bona fide spiritual master, sometimes people say, tell us about tell us about some of the experiences you had with Prabhupada. That's my guru, Prabhupada.
Yes, you have direct contact.
So, and we tell them, well, I'm having one right now. Because when you're fully surrendered to Guru, then actually you're feeling his presence 24 hours a day. So, if you are fully surrendered disciple, then actually you feel your spiritual master's presence at every minute. You will never feel you're separated from him for even a second. All you have to do is be fully surrendered to his instructions. You will always feel how he's seeing you, how he is blessing you, and how he is guiding you 24 hours a day in all circumstances. You will never feel that you are separated from your guru. You just have to be surrendered fully to his instructions, that's all. Simple thing. Not difficult.
No. Yes. Just to follow the instructions.
Simply follow the guru says, do this, you do that. That's it. He says, chant Hare Krishna, you chant Hare Krishna. He said, don't eat onion garlic, you say, okay, no more onion garlic. He says, whenever you have free time, you go to the temple. Take your family members, go to the temple, see the beautiful deity worship, render some service, sweep the floor, do some seva. See if there's some seva you can do at the temple. Ask the managers, what service can we do to serve the temple? We don't want to come and just enjoy the temple. We also want to serve the temple. You see? In this way, take whatever instructions the spiritual master gives you, and then you will always feel how you're in his presence. You're never separated. Any other questions?
What happens after you die?
Yes, at the time of death, that is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajanyante kalevaram tam tam mevaiti konteya sadata bhavabhavata. Whatever state of being you may be in, at the time of leaving this body, that state you will achieve in your next lifetime. You see? Do you like to sleep? Huh? You do? At the time of death, you're simply thinking, oh, sleep is so nice. You know the animal that sleeps a long time? The bear. He hibernates in the winter. You're thinking, oh, if I could just sleep, 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 sleep as much as possible. Then you become a bear in your next life. You see? If you're thinking, well, I'd like to eat anything and everything, then you can become a hog. They eat any garbage, any nonsense thing. A hog will eat anything, you see. Then you become a hog in your next life. But if you're thinking of Krishna, the time of death, then you will go to Krishna and become his eternal devotee in the spiritual world. So your next birth is determined by what you're thinking about at the time of death. And do you know what determines what you will think of at the time of death? Do you have any idea what will determine that? I can give you a very clear, straight answer. What you're thinking of right now. What you're thinking of at every moment of your life has a cumulative effect to create what your mental state will be at the time of death. If I'm always thinking of Krishna throughout my whole life, then it's natural. At the time of death, I will think of Krishna. But if I'm thinking of something other than Krishna throughout my whole life, this thing, that thing, so many things, everything but Krishna. Do you think that such a person can remember Krishna at the time of death? No way. Absolutely none.
So at night, do you dream about Krishna? At night, do you dream about Krishna?
Yes. Yes, devotees, because they are Krishna conscious during the day, they also dream about Krishna at night. Yes. That experience is there. Sometimes the most wonderful Krishna conscious dreams are there, very enlivening. So the devotee wakes up excited and enlivened about what he was dreaming. It was so Krishna conscious. You see? Yes.
What if you think about Krishna your whole life, but then on the moment you die, you think of something else?
Something else. The chances of that happening are very slim because you were trained. But even if by chance some last minute distraction came, at the very last minute, Krishna is very kind. He says, Ananyaschintiyantamang yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. He says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So, Krishna will actually help you. Let's say you're a devotee, you really chanted sincerely the whole life, but then there was some freak accident happened. Like you're a car accident. You didn't have any time to prepare yourself. It just caught you by surprise. Krishna will see how you lived your life and he will give you, he will help you at that moment so you can remember him in spite of having forgotten him due to circumstances. If you gave your whole life in his service, he will cover you at the time of death. He'll help you. He's your best friend. Do you think he won't help you because you've served him faithfully and some little, you know, freak thing happened at the last minute? You know, you slipped on a banana peel, you know, and you hit your head and you didn't have time to repair. You know, you got a concussion and you never woke up, you know. Krishna will see how this person lived his life and he'll help him to remember him. Yeah. So really, all you don't have to worry about anything, just be sincere. If you sincerely try to be Krishna conscious, then your perfection is guaranteed. Questions more? All right, there's no questions, and we can end the program here.